tech whiz. Thank you for that happy birthday. And I want to say happy Father's Day to everyone. Yeah. Oh, you misunderstood me. I didn't say happy Father's Day. I said happy Father's Day. See, every day is a day for the Father, right? And that's why we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So that's what I'm talking about. Not plural, it was singular. You know, it's hard to hear those possessives, isn't it? Yeah. Try teaching English as a second language. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 5. And I wanted to look at references in the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord talks about our Father, or as he says, your Father. And so in the Pew Bible, it's page 1501, it begins. And it's a wonderful Sermon on the Mount. Of course, the Lord's Prayer is right there in Matthew 6, right in the middle of chapters 5, 6, and 7. But we'll actually start a little bit before that. Prayer is talking to our Father. And so there's a time to be formal, but there's also time to be very familiar because he's our Father and he knows what we need and he cares about us. We don't have to talk him into caring about us. I had a PowerPoint, but I forgot about it until I was sitting here and realized it was still in my pocket. It may show up, but I didn't give Jason any time, so he's scrambling back there. So it's like I say, I'm not too tech savvy. One of the things I would like us to think about is that God being a father is not just that he's like a father. God is father. It's similar to saying God is love. It's not just that God is loving. God is love, we're told. Well, God is Father, and so Father, hi Michael, God is Father. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." God is Father, and from him life flows. And love flows because it's his very nature. And so we're not putting upon God a human convention. Oh, we have fathers and God's like a father. No, God is Father. And having created man in his image, one of the things he wants to show is that God is Father. Now back to Matthew 5. Before we get into the Lord's Prayer, where it mentions our Father, your Father, look in chapter 5, verse 9. Do you see the word Father? No. But what does it say? It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God," in some translation, "children of God." And that's what it means. And so if you're a child of God, God is your Father. Now, it's very interesting because this is in the Beatitudes, how to have a blessed life, how to be blessed by God. And, well, to be blessed by God, be poor in spirit and mourn and be meek and hunger and thirst. This is not very blessing. It doesn't sound very blessing, does it? But also be merciful and be pure in heart, be a peacemaker. And so the blessings that he gives us are not the normal blessings that we would think of in the world, like win the lottery, have great health, get a hole-in-one on the golf course with your friends all watching. Yep. And maybe someone took a picture with their pocket phone too. So, no, what's the blessing? It's the blessing of those who are related to God and his family. And right after he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," an interesting idea. Why do you need to make peace? Is there war? Yes, there's war. The world is at war with its God. The world is at war with its maker. It needs to make peace with its maker. So we need peacemakers. to make peace with their maker. But not everybody wants peace with God. So right after the peacemaker, he begins to talk about persecution. The next three verses are about persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Skip to the end of chapter 5, and you see him pick up on that. And he says, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God wants us to be merciful to bad people, even as he is to us. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he calls us to love and mercy, even in the face of persecution. Back in verse 13, he begins to talk about salt and light. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Some of your translations will say tasteless, lose its saltiness or become tasteless. It's interesting, the Greek word is to become a fool, moreno, to become a moron. And when it's applied to salt, it means it becomes insipid or dull or bland or weak. And to stretch it, the meanings, it can mean to be weak and wishy-washy. Interesting thing, to be salty is not to be weak and wishy-washy. The world needs salt, but we can't be wishy-washy, we can't be weak. And you know what? Salt preserves. It slows down corruption. It cleanses. But it also stings, doesn't it? And so it's not always welcome. He says, be light, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise whom? Your Father in heaven. Light reveals and light exposes. Paul says this in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And notice I'm referring back to a couple of books we've already taught through, Matthew and Ephesians. He says, Ephesians 5, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it's light that makes everything visible. That is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So he wants us to be light in a dark world. He wants us to be salt. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Now look at chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen. Are we supposed to be seen or not to be seen? Are we supposed to do good works that people see or not to see? What's the difference? Well, you can see the difference. As he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Are your good works done to give praise to yourself or to God? So it's all about the motive, what you do. If we're living so that God gets the praise, then that's to our credit. But if we're doing it so that men will think we're good, well, there's some pretty strong warnings that come with that. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said this to a group of religious people. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? What a warning right from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking to Pharisees, but they thought of themselves as good, and they very carefully practiced their righteousness before men. That is, their keeping of each point of the law. The Lord points this out as he goes through Matthew chapter 6. Back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, he says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. In verse 5, he continues, and when you pray, does God hear you? Yes, your Father hears you. Your Father sees you. Your Father hears you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. He's listening. Is he listening? Why is he listening? Because you're so good at praying? Because you know all the right words? Because you say it over and over? Now, Father's Day is next week, and I'm reminded that I'm a father, and sometimes I was better than others, and sometimes I was attentive to my children, but sometimes I wasn't, and my wife would have to poke me and say, did you hear that? And I'd have to say, what? And sometimes it was like Jack saying, daddy, 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 and I didn't hear him. And so he learned, if I want my dad to listen to me, sometimes I have to say it over and over again. Well, that's not a good example of fathering. Happily, that's not the example that God is for us. That's why he says in chapter 6, verse 7, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard. Why? Because of their many, many words. If I say more and more and more, say it over and over and over, then he will listen to me. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And we just did. Our Father in heaven. He's our Father. We're his children. He loves us. But he does have some rules for the family. Does your family have rules? How to treat one another? What to do when somebody wrongs someone else? That probably doesn't happen in your family, right? Do we sometimes mistreat one another? Yes, we do. It can happen. So what does he say? He says in verse 14, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He wants us to have consistency and not a double standard. He wants his children to walk in truth. And in his family, he has forgiveness. And so if he's forgiving us our sins, he wants us to forgive one another. Fathers provide for their families. Sometimes we wonder if it's enough or if they give us what we need. And sometimes it's kind of hard to define what do you need and what do you want, right? So he says in verse 60 or 6:31, he says, well, let me back up and read the context. We'll start at 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, then your whole body is full of darkness. And then the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? You cannot serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. So don't be worrying about lunch. I'm not going to make you late. Don't worry about what you'll wear. I did wear a jacket, but I left it over there because it's hot. But I wanted to get credit for being dressed up with a suit and jacket. Not that I'm, you know, displaying my righteousness before men, but I wanted you to know that I was dressed properly for church. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, well, it's got enough worries for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So this week, what does he say? This week, seek. Seek the Father, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll continue to add the things that we need. Is he a good father? He tells us in chapter 7, he says, he's a good father even when we're not. Verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, though we're fallen, though we're sinful, if we can do that, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so he tells us to ask. Look back at verse 7 and 8. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Will he give it to you because you know how to say the right words? Or you know how many times to say it? Or what particular volume he listens when you say it? Why will he listen to us? Because he's our Father, and we are his children. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, we know that all fulfillment, the fulfillment of all our needs will be met in heaven, but God also wants to meet our needs on earth. And all of his provisions are temporary because, obviously, this life is temporary. And this flesh and blood will not enter into the kingdom of God, but we'll be raised and resurrected or raptured if we're still alive when Jesus comes back. But he does want to meet our needs now. And so I thought we would pray now for needs. And Debbie was just taking Hoda to the airport so she can go to George's conference. And she's going to meet Christine there. Christy was our intern for 6 weeks, and many other people from the same background who are learning about Christ or have come to Christ. Maddie just came from the same conference in a different city, and so I would like to pray for those two ladies, three ladies I mentioned, and I'd like us to continue to pray as a church for Amy. And we have anyone else that we could pray for? The new couple, new man and wife. Ah. Hola. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are Father. It's your very nature. You are life. You are love. You share both because it's your nature to share your life and to share your love. And the relationship that you want with your creatures, especially mankind that you made in your image, is to be that of family. Many of our friends think the relationship you want is slave and master, but you say, even though you are a master and you're the king, the owner of all, you are our Father, and we thank you that that's who you are. And we thank you that through the gospel we've learned this, and we can call upon you, and everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus and calls upon his name can have the power and the right to become children of God, not just now, but forever. We thank you for that. We pray for anyone here that isn't sure if they're a child of God, that they would talk with us, someone here, the pastor, me, an elder, a friend, and say, how can I know that I'm a child of God? How can I know that God is my Father? How can I have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life? Even when this body dies, some are closer to death than others, some of us have fewer years left than when we have already had. But you know that, Lord. No, we don't know the length of our days. But you care about us, and you tell us to pray. And so we're praying, Lord. We're praying for a spiritual healing and growth for Hoda and for the people that go there and give strength and power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to George and all the people working with him in that ministry. We pray for continued growth and encouragement to Maddie. And we do pray for Amy, Lord, as a body, our sister. We're holding her up, Lord, and we're asking that you give healing to her, take away this cancer, and give wisdom as to what decisions there are and medical decisions, and all that can be very confusing. And but we just ask for wisdom. And we ask for everyone here. We thank you that we're a family in Christ. Help us to be loving and supportive to one another. Help us to forgive one another when someone sins against us, and help us to confess and humble ourselves when we hurt someone else. We thank you for life, and thank you for love that we can experience here on earth, even in the midst of a world that's in rebellion. We thank you for Dan and Miranda and their new life and how that is a picture of your relationship with Christ, with Christ's relationship with the church. And it's a time of joy, and we rejoice with them. And we just pray for their protection and safe return and that. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.